Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Cover Zero Podcast, the show where I cover the least in the best way possible. I'm your host, Jason Wells. Today is Wednesday, March 19th. And I know at the end of last episode, I was like, I'm going to get back into some draft stuff. We'll talk about my guys of the draft. Things have changed. There is so much free agency to recap, and I'm not going to recap it all. But this is going to be a overall free agency recap episode. And what I mean by that is I'm not going to go over every single signing because there's hundreds of signings and transactions that have happened over the last week. But what I will do is I've got, I think, around 70-ish names that I'm going to bring up. And people might think off the top, it's like, 70? That's a shit ton. None of those guys, not all of them can be important. At least in my estimation, these are guys who are still quality NFL players or have been really quality NFL players at one point or another. Like, they are notable names. I'll just spoil a little bit. I have Raheem Mostert on here, and he might be the last name, the least valuable signing that I will talk about, but he's got a soft spot because obviously he's a Dolphins guy. But, like, that's the type of guys that I'm going to be talking about. And again, we're going to start at the top with the big signings, go all the way to the bottom. But to me, there's enough free agency recap to talk about here where that's basically going to be the entire episode. Essentially, it's just the NFL weekly update, but we're going to call it a little bit different to pizzazz it up, to give it a little more zhuzh. So free agency recap. Again, not going over everything, but going over the major stuff according to me and my football knowledge. So let's just get into it. So starting off with the Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, their extensions are done, and boy, are they paying them a lot. Ja'Marr Chase, four-year, $161 million extension. That does make him the highest paid non-QB in NFL history, taking that away from Myles Garrett last week. 112 of that guaranteed, and then T. Higgins, four-year, up to $115 million, I believe. The first two seasons of that are guaranteed. Again, when the contracts come in, the money's a little weird to try to figure out right away, but those are the numbers that I have in front of me, at least. So, I've had some opinions about this, as I do with anything that I talk about on this show, but I think the Bengals just needed to get this done, and in terms of actual team building and contending, I don't think they can do that anymore. But what the Bengals will have for the next 4 years with Burrow, with Chase, with Higgins, is an explosive offense basically no matter what. The Bengals have shown that as long as those three guys stay healthy, their offensive line can be dog shit. It doesn't matter. Now, the defense also isn't good, but that's a whole other thing. But can the Bengals be the first team to win a Super Bowl without really caring about the trenches or defensive play? Probably not. I don't think they're going to buck that trend. But at the bare minimum, you're getting exciting offensive football. And for a lot of casual fans and the average fan, seeing your team score a lot of points on Sunday, it's fun, and that's what matters to them. Now, I don't think this is going to make the Bengals contenders whatsoever over the next 4 years. I mean, I don't think that Duke Tobin, their GM, and the guy who has been the GM for this entire century, has done a good job, as you can see his track record from the last century. But essentially, his team-building model now is score more points than the other team. And that's always been the case, but now it's going to be, you got to score in the mid-30s, high-30s, and then try to hold off the other team from doing the same, because this team has holes everywhere on the defense. There's talks about their Hendrickson price being too outrageous for any teams to really consider, so there's talks about bringing him back, but they need to start really nailing some draft classes on the defense and on the offense, because we know that the offense is going to put up points. So if they can nail some defensive drafts in the next couple years, I mean probably this year and next season, there's no reason why this Bengals team shouldn't be able to contend, but again, it's going to make it a lot harder now, and they're team building in a way that just no one else really does. So congrats in a way for the Bengals for getting those two guys. Are they $100 million more expensive than A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith on the Eagles? They are, but they got it done. That's all you can say. In terms of other possible additions, I talked about Hendrickson maybe coming back. Ricky, if you don't know Ricky on Twitter, Slick Rick, the guy with the Giants dog picture, profile picture. I don't know why I'm getting into the lore of Ricky, but he's a dude with sources, but not confirmed sources and not a confirmed dude. But the Bengals are potentially in on Brandon Scherff and Tevin Jenkins. I think right now free agency has kind of hit a stop until after the draft anyways, and then we'll see some more signings again. So they're in the mix for some offensive linemen anyways. I mean, we'll see, but hey, good for Jamar, good for T, good for Joe. They get to play together for the next 4 years. Offenses, they're going to be really good. They're going to have a top 10 offense over the next 4 years. It's just, will it matter in terms of anything else? I don't know, but the Bengals offense will score a lot of points, and that's always fun. Derek Stingley becomes the highest paid corner in the league, gets a 3-year, $90 million extension with 89 of that guaranteed. So again, last week we talked about J.C. Horn being the highest paid corner, $25 million AAV. Well, now Derek Stingley gets 30. So big bump, good for J.C. Horn's agent to get him that much money, because now where the top end corner market is, yeah, J.C. Horn at $25 million, that's about right if Stingley's getting 30. I'm fine with it now. It was weird last week. It's an absolutely fine contract now. That's just how the NFL works. But yeah, they get him on a 3-year extension where he still has 2 years left on his rookie deal. And then that 3 years, so he's with the team for 5 years. And because he still has 2 years left on his deal, the next 5 years, it's really looking like it's 22.5, I think, AAV, which is very, very good. Stingley is obviously one of the best corners in the league. I think he's probably my second best corner in the league right now. All pro season from him last year with the Texans. Yeah, they got this deal done early, especially when guys like Sauce Gardner and Trent McDuffie from the same draft class, who could also reset the corner market if they wanted. They also need to get paid. Gonzo needs to get paid, or can get paid next year. So good for the Texans to get in early, get this deal done, because again, in another couple months, he could be third on that list. Stingley is just, again, great corner, great deal, great for the Texans to get it done. I'm a little curious, because he got a $90 million deal and 89 of that guaranteed, why that last million guaranteed was such a hang-up. I do think it's because NFL owners in general are just trying to avoid fully guaranteed contracts in general. Like, big, big guaranteed contracts in general, because you can't let the player union be like, we want fully guaranteed contracts if enough owners start giving them out. I think that, honestly, that might be a reason why Texans owner and why the GM didn't do it. I don't know if I actually brought this up last week. I don't think I did, and I don't think I ever did. But Geno Smith got traded to the Raiders. We all know this at this point. Got traded for a late third. Again, good for the Raiders. They have a solid QB. And Geno gets to go back with Pete Carroll, where he had, again, Pete Carroll was the coach who helped him resurrect his career just a little bit. He gets to throw to Jacoby Myers and Brock Bowers. Obviously, the offensive line is pretty good. Like, it's a decent situation, but it's just good for the Raiders for actually having a quarterback. They have not had a quarterback in such a long time, where I don't think it's crazy for me to say that, oh, Geno Smith is the best QB that they've had since, like, 2017-18 Derek Carr. And even then, I still might think that Geno Smith is better than that guy. And then before Derek Carr, I don't even know what QB we could possibly be talking about. Of like Geno Smith, the fact that Geno Smith in 2025 might be the best Raiders quarterback this century is a very, very sad thing to say. But here we are. You have a starting quarterback, Raiders fans, and that's something that you have been missing I mean, I guess we can count Derek Carr for, so not that long, but long enough anyway, so that's good. Speaking of Geno's former team, Cooper Kupp goes to Seattle on a 3-year, $45 million deal. Solid money for Kupp. Obviously, he didn't want to wait for the rest of the vet wide receiver markets. He wanted to get a deal done. He goes to Seattle, who, yeah, Seattle was needing another wide receiver after getting rid of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. But again, I'm confused about overall team fit in general. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is one of the best slot receivers in the NFL right now. And that's where Cooper Kupp plays the majority of his snaps, where that was kind of the issue with the Rams, with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Obviously, Cooper Kupp has his health injuries too, hasn't had a healthy season since that 2021 like Offensive Player of the Year season. But did he win Offensive Player of the Year? I'm trying to remember. I think that we did this, and this might have been a Derrick Henry year. Either way, I digress. That doesn't matter. But that was the issue with the Rams, is, okay, these guys kind of do these guys do similar things in our offense. One's getting older. Let's get rid of him. Blah, blah, blah. Where now Seattle is kind of doing the same thing, where they have JSN, who, that's their guy. That is their number one receiver. They bring in Kupp to, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to look. Both of the guys are very, very good slot players, where there's only one slot on the field. So in terms of just overall offensive construction, I have no idea what to expect from Seattle. And that makes it kind of exciting, kind of enticing to not know how this offense is going to look. That's up to offense coordinator Clint Kubiak, who I have enough faith in, I guess, to try to scheme something up. Either way, like JSN, Kupp, they're both very good receivers. Any offensive coordinator worth a damn should be able to get it to work for both guys, so I guess we'll see, but Cooper Kupp to Seattle. Also, yeah, the real Darnold contract number. So we got a 3-year, $101-whatever-million deal. It's essentially a one-year deal. It's a one-year, $30 million deal with a team option. If the team, if he stinks and whatever, it doesn't work out, they're cutting him. One-year deal, hands washed, that's it. So very good deal for Seattle in that case, and in terms of Sam Darnold, I'm still confused about why you would structure a deal that way. I mean, at least his agent anyways. I don't understand why the deal would get structured in that way, where it's essentially a one-year contract and the 2 years are just for show, I guess. I think Darnold should have got more on the open market. Like, those last two games and I guess last month of his season were not great, but I think he garnered a little bit more than that. So a little bit disappointing from Sam Darnold on that side. That's why he was one of my honorable mention losers from last week. Colts have a couple signings here. They bring in Charvarius Ward, 3-year, $54 million deal, and then Cam Bynum, safety from the Vikings, 4-year, $60 million deal. The Colts secondary has absolutely stunk. Not stunk, but it hasn't been good the last couple years. They have Kenny Moore, their nickel corner, slot corner, who has been holding down the fort for them for quite some time now. And other than that, they've been banking on Juju Brents, really good athlete who they drafted a few years ago to develop, and he really hasn't done that. The back end, like the safeties, hasn't been good. It's been Julian Blackman. He's still a free agent. So they bring in Bynum. They bring in Ward. Charvarius Ward is a very good corner. Obviously dealt with a ton of terrible off-field stuff last year. I won't get into that. But he finds a new home. He talked about how his time in San Francisco last year, where he was just kind of going through the motions, and football was, once the season was done, he realized that, like, football was, like, the thing that was, like, really keeping him sane. He just couldn't do it in San Francisco anymore, which, very, very fair. So they get a number one corner there. In Indy, they also bring in a very good safety in Cam Bynum, so revamping that secondary just a little bit for the Colts. Jake Matthews, longtime Falcons left tackle, gets a 2-year, $45 million extension. Jake Matthews is just one of those guys who I think the average fan, the casual fan, doesn't know who his name is. And he's probably okay with that. He was a first-round pick back in 2014 and just my God, has he just been rock solid his entire career, where he is one of those guys where you don't hear his name come up on the broadcast because he doesn't make mistakes, he doesn't really let up sacks, he doesn't take penalties. Again, rock solid entire career, will probably be a future Hall of Very Good member. But yeah, since his rookie season, since week 9 in 2014, the man has not missed a single start in the league. Again, that's how consistent, rock-solid Jake Matthews has been. Unsung offensive lineman of the last decade that probably doesn't get enough praise, so I'm giving you your praise, Jake Matthews. Congrats on signing that deal with the Falcons to stay there for 2 more years. Again, rock-solid career. The Falcons are happy to have him back on that extension. We have a couple retirements here. Brandon Graham, I think this is like the third time I'm bringing up Brandon Graham retiring, but it is official now. 2010 first round pick, 2-time Super Bowl champion, 1-time All-Pro, 1-time Pro Bowler. Different years, which is weird. He was an All-Pro in 2016 and then a Pro Bowl in 2020. So weird how that works, but yeah, Brandon Graham gets to walk off into the sunset with a Super Bowl ring. Again, another Hall of Very Good candidate very, very shortly. Excellent career. Again, I've done this twice already, so I won't keep going, really. Another retirement here. We have Michael Pierce, the big Ravens nose tackle, calling it quits after a 9-year career. Pierce is one of the players and like one of the positions that I love watching. Nose tackles are just so much fun to watch. And you see a guy who's 6 feet, 355 pounds, moving around the way he does, it shouldn't work. Guys who are that size shouldn't be these freaky athletes playing in the NFL. But that's what I love about the NFL, is that all shapes and sizes can do it. I mean, we have Tez Johnson coming up in the draft, who's what, 5'9", 155, and then you have a guy who's 200 pounds heavier than that might be tackling him in a game. Well, not anymore, because it won't work out, but either way, like, that's just the size difference that we see in the NFL. Michael Pierce, a very good nose tackle for the Ravens, went over to Vikings for a bit, came back over to the Ravens, and ended his last play of his career was an interception. Big boys don't get those interceptions too much. I wish he would have tried to run it back just a little bit more, but he went down, he took a knee, he's like, fuck this, I'm not running that far. So shout out to Michael Pierce, great career. And one more guy, it's not a retirement yet, but center David Andrews has been released from the Patriots, was a UDFA back in 2014, 10-year career, 2-time Super Bowl champion with the Patriots. Again, really, really solid player. Didn't start really missing time until this past season. Was a very, very consistent starter for the Patriots over these years. And it sucks that medicals kind of like take away guys' careers just a little bit earlier than they expected. Apparently, the reason why the Patriots did cut him is because he failed his physical. Who knows if he's going to sign somewhere else. If you do want to watch David Andrews on your TV, you can watch him on The Dozen Trivia with the Ice Dogs and Keith Yandel and Marty Mush. They're awful at trivia, and I'm sure that doesn't shock people, but David Andrews seems like a cool guy. Again, doesn't know a lot about general knowledge pop culture trivia, but he's been in the NFL for the last 10 years, so give him a bit of a break. But yeah, very good player. The Patriots will miss him, but they also filled his shoes in the last 20 minutes, so I'll talk about that in a bit. CJ Mosley has also been cut from the Jets. Got injured last year, only played in, I think, 4 games. They got Quincy Williams. They re-signed... What's his name? Jermaine? It's not Jermaine. Jermaine Sherwood. It's like Jermian. Something like that. Jeremiah. Either way, they've re-signed a linebacker that was on their team who they really like. It's Sherwood. I know that. It's Jay Sherwood. I don't know what his first name is, but it's Jay Sherwood. And that's supposed to be their duo going forward. CJ Mosley, former first-round pick out of Alabama, spent some time with the Ravens, five-time second-team All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler. Again, we're just in the season of we got to be patient now. There's still, again, there's some decent vets still available who will all get signed. It's just teams have made their initial signings. They're all good. We are now waiting for the draft to really see how teams look, and then going from there, CJ Mosley will get picked up by someone, still a good player. If, again, if he wants to play, he's had a great career, so if he wants to continue playing, I'm sure that someone will sign him. I'm sure he will be happy to continue his career somewhere else, but that's a notable cut anyways. And now we're getting into the real thick of all the signings here, where towards the end, I'm not going to spend a ton of time. I'm hoping maybe like 10, 20 seconds on these low-end signings. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about. So let's just get into it. And we're just going to start off with a team in general. And I'm avoiding teams because I have an episode. I'm doing a vault episode in a few weeks where you don't get to know what the vault episode is yet. I will save that until it is released and I explain what it is. But I'm doing that, so a little bit of a teaser for you there. So, because that I had the thought of, why don't I just talk about every team and the signings that they did, but that's going to be part of the Vault episode, technically. So, we'll see, but I do have to talk about the Cowboys in general, because the Cowboys, if they had a first-round grade on you in the last few years, they love you. Any first-round bust, the Cowboys, please, please come play on the Dallas Cowboys. So, just in the last week, they have traded for Kenneth Murray, giant bust, Kyir Elam, bust, signed Dante Fowler, who, being a third overall pick and having the career he's had, he is a bust, but he had a really good year last year, so I'm not gonna, but technically bust. Solomon Thomas, bust, Peyton Turner, bust. Those were all first-round pick, and if you're a former, if you get the tagline, former first-round pick, when you get signed, you're not very good anymore. And then they've got a couple second-round guys who didn't really work out. Miles Sanders had a nice start with the Eagles, flamed out with the Panthers. We'll see, maybe he gets back to what he was doing with the Cowboys. Javonte Williams, again, injuries, just has not worked out. Another guy with that high pedigree, and then Paris Campbell, another guy who people thought, oh, he could be really good, and again, he's been in the league for a while, so can't knock him for that, but didn't really work out. The Cowboys just love grabbing guys who they had high grades on in the draft process and just bringing them back, and it's like, well, maybe they are actually good, and all the other teams are wrong. I doubt it. I will give the Cowboys a little bit of credit. They did sign linebacker Jack Sanborn, who was on the Bears. He follows Matt Eberflus over. Sanborn couldn't crack that lineup with TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds. Now he gets his chance. This signing, I had the thought, and I don't think I've said it on the podcast, where Jack Sanborn is my, maybe this is Zach Bond type signing, where a guy who just didn't get the opportunity to play in the role that he needed, and now he gets the chance to do it. I think Jack Sanborn could have a really good year for the Cowboys. So that might be my guy out of nowhere to be like, whoa, he had a really good season. And yeah, I think that could be Jack Sanborn. Either way, that's the Cowboys. Next signing up here, DJ Reed, formerly of the Jets and Niners, signs a 3-year, $48 million deal with the Lions. So DJ Reed goes to Detroit to replace Carlton Davis. I think DJ Reed and Carlton Davis are in like similar tiers of corners anyways, and just because I'm talking about all of those, all of the corners that got paid, except DJ Reed, who I do put in this tier, but Charvarius Ward, Carlton Davis, Paulson Adebo, who we'll talk about in a bit, I'm missing someone else, but all of the corners basically signed for the exact same deal, which is a, oh, my notes went away, which is what I said for Charvarius Ward, which is a 3-year, $54 million deal. And I think that DJ Reed is better than those guys. So getting him at a 3-year, $48 million deal, again, same tier player, but I think he's the better in the tier, whatever. But yeah, good for the Lions to get in, replace him. DJ Reed has been a very, very good corner since he's been in the league. Lions are obviously hoping that Tyrion Arnold, who they drafted in the first round last year out of Alabama, that he develops a little more and he can be their true one, and DJ Reed can maintain that number two role that he's been playing so well for the Jets these last few seasons. Seems like a Lions type player. Seems like he's got a bit of grit to his game, which obviously the Lions and Dan Campbell love. So I like that signing. Josh Sweat formerly of the Eagles signs a 4-year, $76.4 million deal with the Arizona Cardinals. Sweat follows former defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon, who is now obviously the Cardinals head coach over there. Very good deal for Sweat. Congrats on getting that amount of money. I think he's a very solid edge player, and the Cardinals are just looking for very solid defensive players in general. And I think Sweat fits that mold. Now, I don't think this contract is now like, oh, the Cardinals aren't taking, the Cardinals just aren't going to take like a defensive lineman anymore at pick, what are they, 16? I think 16 sounds right. They're not going to take a defensive lineman there. I still think they could, but now you got Josh Sweat, who is just, yeah, a damn good player. And their first round pick from last year, Darius Alexander, who is an edge, but they can also move on the interior. I'm interested to see how this defense does. I think that the Cardinals have done all they could for getting Kyler Murray set up in that offense with the run game, with Marv, with Trey McBride. They've made those moves. The offensive line could obviously be a little bit better, but whose offensive line couldn't be a little better at this point? So getting that defense, adding to it, it's a good, solid move. Gannon and Sweat have the connection already, so good on Cardinals for getting that done. A couple Giants moves here. Javon Holland signs a 3-year, $45 million deal, and Paulson Adebo signs a 3-year, $54 million deal. It hurts me that Javon Holland has left the Dolphins. And it's not because I'm going to miss his play, because let's be honest, last year it wasn't great, but not a lot was for the Dolphins, so I give him a pass. But I have him. He's right up there. He's cut off a little bit, but he is on my wall because, first of all, Oregon Duck, my favorite college team, and he's Canadian. That's just a double win in terms of draft prospects and being one of my guys, and he was one of my guys in that 2021 class. I wanted him so badly, and the Dolphins, oh my God, they listened. And now he walks out the door 4 years later. I still think he can be one of the best safeties in the league, and I think that he believes that too. New setting in New York, they needed secondary help in general. They add two guys. I think Holland is awesome. Maybe he plays next to Tyler Newbin, who they drafted in on day two last year. That seems nice. And then Paulson Adebo, who very quietly has just been been an above-average corner his entire career since he got drafted to the Saints. And again, a lot of people don't pay attention to corner number twos because the Saints have had Marshawn Lattimore that entire time. But yeah, Paulson Adebo has done his job very well and has just, again, been consistent. There's been no high up and down swings. He's just a really damn good corner. Giants get him at that number, same number again, as Carlton Davis, as Charvarius Ward, and I do put Paulson Adebo in that tier with those guys. Good deal. Giants revamping that secondary just a little bit. They hope maybe Deontay Banks can get back to closer to his 2023 rookie form instead of 2024, because it was not great last year, but I'm going to miss Holland. I'm going to miss Holland a ton. I wish him the best in New York. But, yeah, it's just unfortunate. It is unfortunate. Speaking of safeties, Trayvon Moehrig signs a 3-year, $51 million deal with the Panthers. If you're not familiar with that name, same class as Holland? I might be wrong about that. I think I am wrong about that. I think he might have been... No, because he wasn't a second-round pick. I think he was also a 2021, also a second-round pick. Okay, my bad. But to me, Moehrig and Holland were the top two safeties in that class. But now that I think about it, I want to know who was picked ahead of them. Safeties are one of those positions that just kind of get... Nope, that's just the position. That just gets a little weird in terms of like prospect evaluation. I think we're going to see it this year with someone like a Malachi Starks, who's just fucking awesome at everything. But people are going to overthink the position because it's safety and it's not as important of a position. No, Holland was the first safety taken. Okay, and then it was Morig. Either way, we move on, blah, blah, blah. Since Morig has played for the Raiders for the past four seasons, no one has cared. I don't think that's a harsh thing to say, but I think that's just a true thing to say. And he has not had the highs of a Javon Holland had in like his first couple years, but Morig has just been good across the board, where like if Morig has just been flat the entire time, like consistent, 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 where Holland, holy crap, that 21-22 season, he looked great, and then it dipped down where he's below Morig now in terms of like what they've been doing recently. But yeah, Morig just a damn good consistent player, and the Panthers just need defensive players in general. They were the worst defense of all time in terms of points allowed in a season. That's not like, the Panthers are so bad. No, that's literally a fact. If you want to go and look at it yourself, yeah, the Panthers allowed the most points in any other team in any other season in NFL history. Yes, they're 17 games now. That helps a little bit, but they're still bad. And they have added a ton to this defense, and it does start with Morig on the back end at safety. Good deal, good player, good for the Panthers. Next deal up here, another safety. Justin Reed goes to the Saints on a three-year, $31.5 million deal. Another just solid, solid player. Has been with the Texans, won a couple Super Bowls with the Chiefs. Now he goes to the Saints. Just a fun player. I just like the idea that if teams want, he can do kickoffs for them. Like, he is a very good kicker, which also just brings up my point where it's like, there should always be a backup place kicker no matter what, because for some reason, punters can't always kick the ball like kickers do, and it makes no sense to me, but that's another tangent for another time. But yeah, Justin Reed now goes into a Saints secondary with him and Tyrann Mathieu. Maybe they add another secondary player at pick number 9. I don't really know. We'll have to see. Speaking of the Saints, Chase Young gets a three-year, $51 million deal, up to $57 million. Chase Young has found his home for at least the time being. Yeah, Chase, I weirdly probably had the best year of his career. It seemed that later on in the season, he was kind of starting to get things going. I don't think he's ever going to hit that potential that he had in that, that was the 2021 class, right? Yeah, that sounds right that was the 2021 class. But yeah, he's not going to hit that potential that... No, that was the 2020 class. Yeah, because it was Burrow. Because the Niners or the Commanders would have drafted... Okay. The 2020, he didn't get his fifth... Did he get his fifth year? Either way, I'm confused about the stuff, whatever. Chase Young, solid player. This contract is a lot more what Chase Young could be than what he actually is right now, but the Saints got to pay someone. I mean, they're paying a lot of people to not be on their team right now. Michael Thomas is still getting like $20 million from them this season. He hasn't played for them in 3 years, but that's beside the point. Chase Young, solid, still developing. I don't think he's going to turn into this freak that people thought he was going to be, like better than both Bosa brothers type thing. But solid deal. Nate Hobbs, corner, former corner for the Raiders, signs a four-year, $48 million with the Packers. Packers have been looking for another corner to potentially pair alongside Jaire Alexander, but they've also been looking to trade Jaire. I think that, again, they've talked about cutting him. That obviously hasn't happened yet, but... Nate Hobbs, again, one of these later round picks for the Raiders, who has just had a very, very solid career. I'd say he's like an average, slightly above average corner. Obviously not in the same realm as like the Paulson Adebo and the Carlton Davis. I think he's probably in that like next tier below for me. And these tiers could have however many people in them, because I have no idea off the top of my head. But Nate Hobbs, solid player, good player. Packers got a good one. We can keep going here. Joey Bosa signs a one-year, $12.6 million deal with the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I think I said last week that, like, oh, the Niners, like, it's like, oh, they lost all these guys and they cut Leonard Floyd, but don't worry, they're going to get Nick Bosa or Joey Bosa. They did not get Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa decides to go all the way up north to Buffalo to essentially take on what Von Miller's role was with the team last year, just comes in much cheaper. Joey Bosa, very good career. Injuries lately, it's just he's not been great. He hasn't lived up to that contract. That's why he got cut. But at $12.6 million for 1 year, very good deal. Like, I don't know what else you want if you're a Bills fan. Obviously, you want a true number one edge. I still believe in Greg Russo. Greg Russo's still a young player. Maybe he can take one more step. He's still solid, but now you're looking at Russo, Bosa, still have AJ Epenesa. Maybe you draft someone else. It's not bad. Joey Bosa is better than Von Miller at this point, so take that as a win, Bills fans. Darius Slay goes to Pittsburgh on a one-year, $10 million deal. Yeah, sucks for the Eagles to lose him, kind of needlessly, I'll say. We'll see. There's a whole draft. There's still some free agents available, so we'll see. But Slay goes to Pittsburgh, where he already joins a very good defense, joins a young corner in Joey Porter Jr., who has been, again, up and down. There's some high, high moments. There's some low, low moments. But maybe Slay can be that vet mentor who can just kind of balance him out, teach him some things, tools of the trade. I have no idea. But that Pittsburgh defense is shaping up. I mean, I feel like I can say this for the last 5 years, where this Pittsburgh defense is shaping up very nicely, and it is. The Pittsburgh defense on paper is still very, very good. I mean, the Pittsburgh team on paper is great. They need a quarterback, and we still don't know yet, but yeah, Rodgers is being a dickhead. Actually, that's something I probably could bring up. So Rodgers has essentially narrowed it down to the Giants and the Steelers, and he's just not making a decision. That's it. That's like the Aaron Rodgers saga right now, where he just doesn't, he's just going to wait. He's going to make these teams sweat it out for no reason, and fuck him. Like, I don't know. He's rumored that the Vikings are his number one preferred choice, but it's like, if you're the Vikings, why would you want to bring him in? He's a head case. He's a disaster. He takes focus away from the team in general. He doesn't care about the team in general. I don't understand. If you're the Steelers, I get. The Steelers, you need to bring in air. Actually, kind of with the Jets because or the Giants because they need to save. Both of them need to save their jobs. But either way, that's a whole other thing. We can move on here. A couple Broncos moves here. They bring in Dre Greenlaw on a three-year, $35 million deal. Talanoa Hufanga, another 49er, three-year, $45 million deal. And then Evan Engram from the Jags on a two-year, $23 million deal. Yeah, they've needed a linebacker. Greenlaw coming off that Achilles injury last year, he looked pretty good when he came back, like all things considered, seeing like how serious Achilles injuries are. But another full offseason removed from it, another full offseason of training and getting back to 100%. I like the move. Dre Greenlaw is a very good player, very good linebacker. The Dolphins were in the mix for him at some point. Sad we couldn't get him, but either way, good for the Broncos. That defense is already great. They add Greenlaw. They also add Talanoa Hufanga, who his rookie year, I think he might have been a second-team All-Pro player. Like, he had a phenomenal rookie year. His injury is taking a step back, but he's still a very good, consistent safety. I think he's now back there with Brandon Jones, former Dolphin. Those are just some hard-hitting safeties back there for the Broncos, and they've got Surtain and Riley Moss and that good defensive line up front. The Broncos' defense is going to continue to be very good, and these guys just help. They also add in Evan Engram on a two-year, $23 million deal. They need people to catch the ball for them, and Evan Engram can absolutely do that. A good move tight end for them. Sean Payton historically has not needed his tight ends to block whatsoever. So, and what does Evan Engram not like doing? That's blocking. And I don't know. Actually, he doesn't like blocking. I'm not even going to say, like, I don't know really what Evan Engram does and doesn't like. But that man doesn't like blocking. I can just tell. Can he do it? Sort of, sure, but good move for the Broncos to get just another pass catcher in there. It looked like a time that they might be able to take Colston Loveland or maybe Tyler Warren, and I don't think either of those guys are going to be there on the board at their pick at 20. That sounds right. Yeah, their pick at 20. I don't think either of them are going to be there at this point anymore, so they get their tight end for at least the now, adding to a pass catching room with Cortland Sutton and Marvin Mims. They still got to add like another piece there, but Ingram, again, solid. Interested to see what Sean Payton does with him. Good move. DeMarcus Lawrence, formerly of the Cowboys, signs a 3-year, $42 million deal, 18 of that guaranteed with the Seahawks. Essentially a 1-year deal for DeMarcus Lawrence there, but we're talking about these defensive lines, and we talk about a guy like Mike McDonald, who we've all seen his Ravens defense of, they love rotating guys in and out on that defensive line, having them play everywhere. And now you look at that defense and that defensive line, who I talked about them highly, and they were really, really playing well towards the end of the year. And now it's Leonard Williams, it's Byron Murphy, it's DeMarcus Lawrence, it's still Jaron Reed, it's Boye Mafe, it's Uchenna Nwosu. Those are some guys. Then that's some beef in the middle too, if I'll add, where they can come at you in all ways. If they want that speed off the edge, they got Nwosu, they got Mafe. But they have a lineup too where it's Leonard Williams, DeMarcus Lawrence is on the edge, and then Byron Murphy and Jaron Reed in the middle, where it's going to be very hard to run against that team when that's the front that they're showing you. Obviously, DeMarcus Lawrence, he's had his injuries. He's up there in age at this point. But healthy, in a rotation with all those guys, I really like what he can bring for 1 year with Seattle. And I'm very excited about Seattle's defense next year. The offense, I've got so many questions about. But defense, not a ton of concerns. That's what Mike McDonald does best. Very interested to see the fit here. Leonard Floyd signs a 1-year, $10 million deal with the Falcons. Helps the Falcons, who desperately need edge. They thought that they might have had it with Matt Judon last year. Obviously not the case. Leonard Floyd, again, former first-round pick for the Bears, I believe, and has just been solid his entire career. He's honestly been better in the last 4 years than he was at like the start of his career, which is a testament to him and just his professionalism and whatever. So he goes to the Falcons on a 1-year deal, where right now he's probably the best edge player they have. So good for Leonard Floyd in terms of playing time. Gets $10 million to do it too. Solid. Kevin Zeitler of the Lions last year signs a 1-year, $9 million deal with the Titans. The Titans have essentially revamped their entire offensive line. And I'm going to quickly look at what their depth chart is, because I'm forgetting who is at one of their guard spots. But they signed Dan Moore to that giant contract last year, who I wasn't a fan, or this last week, who wasn't a huge fan of. But Dan Moore, good player, young enough, sure. That moves J.C. Latham, who they drafted in the first round last year, over to the right side. They still got Lloyd Cushenberry. Oh, that's Peter Skoronski. How could I forget? I didn't even need to look. They got Lloyd Cushenberry at center. They got Peter Skoronski at left guard. Now they have Kevin Zeitler at right guard. Every position on that offensive line has been addressed now. And if you're a Titans fan, that's something that you can be really happy about, because it has not looked pretty on that offensive line for quite some time now, where honestly, the only weak spot I'm a little concerned, obviously Latham being young, and I'm assuming him going back over to the right side and having Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach, one of the best in the league, be able to coach him back up. But like, my biggest question is really Dan Moore, who they just gave a 4-year, $82.5 million contract to, where obviously they're confident in him. So if you trust your front office, Titans fans, then you should like where the Titans have gone, what their offensive line looks like. I don't trust the Titans front office, mainly because of what they did to Rand Carthon, and that's a whole other side of things that we won't get into, but the Titans have fixed their offensive line in free agency on paper, essentially. We'll see how it looks come week one, but right now I can say Titans offensive line looking pretty good. Maybe looking good enough for a rookie quarterback in there? I don't know. Next note up here, Garrett Bradbury, who did get cut from the Vikings, who that was in my notes from earlier, but he has been signed already. He gets a two-year deal up to $12 million with the Patriots. Obviously, this makes sense with the Patriots releasing David Andrews. They bring in Garrett Bradbury, former first-round pick. And I thought Garrett Bradbury was actually, like, good, like a good center, and then it took me to see that Ryan Kelly got signed to be like, oh, I guess Garrett Bradbury is not that good. And look, I don't know everything. You might think that I do, and I have such high football acumen and knowledge, but sometimes I have some lapses. I have some holes in my football, whatever. I'm just basically blowing myself here. Garrett Bradbury goes to the Paints, Patriots. It's better than nothing. It's better than obviously what they had without David Andrews on the roster, but Garrett Bradbury, according to Vikings fans, is not very good against the pass, is okay against the run, not a lot of power in his game, gets bull rushed a lot and just kind of put on his back heels, but I don't know what other options the Patriots had, so getting Garrett Bradbury in there is an absolute win for them. Now, that offensive line has just gone from, like, weak to weaker, but it is what it is. Next note up here, Mekhi Becton gets a two-year, $20 million deal from the Chargers. Obviously, former first-round pick for the Jets at tackle, dealt with his injury issues, his play issues, and then signs a one-year deal with the Eagles. They put him at guard, and yeah, it worked out for him. It also helped being a part of that really, really good Eagles defense, but yeah, when he gets his hands on you, all 6'7", what is he, 365 pounds of him? You can't really get around him. Like, he is a people mover, and people are like, oh, well, he only looks so good because he got to play next to Lane Johnson, where, yeah, Lane Johnson, future Hall of Famer, one of the best offensive tackles of all time, where I'm not going to give that pedigree to Joe Alt yet, obviously, but Joe Alt had a phenomenal rookie year, and he's going to build off that going into his sophomore year. Now he has Mekhi Becton right next to him, where Joe Alt, very, very big man, 6'8", I forget how much he actually weighed in at, but he is 6'8", and he has Mekhi Becton, 6'7", next to him. I don't know who's going to be, actually, I do, because that's the next note up, but whoever's running the football for the Chargers, run at the right side. Run between Becton and Joe Alt. I'm sure there will be plenty of holes there. And speaking of some guy who could be doing that, it is Najee Harris, signs a one-year, $5 million deal with the Chargers. Najee Harris, I thought he was going to be so good when he came out of Bama. He got drafted to Pittsburgh, and I'm like, yes, he is that guy. Like, I thought he was going to be like Bijan level. He looks so good at Bama, and he's been fine. I think that he has just been underwhelming. He has been a very solid back. He's rushed for 1,000 yards multiple times. That's more of a just he gets so many touches because the Steelers' backfield has just not been great. So I'm interested to see what he does on a one-year deal with the Chargers, who are looking to kind of upgrade that offense a little bit. This obviously still means I think the Chargers need to draft someone else, but Najee Harris is solid enough, and at a one-year, $5 million deal, that's good. We got a trade to talk about here. Speaking of the running game, Jordan Mason and a 2025 sixth-round pick get traded to the Vikings for a 2025 fifth-round pick and a 2026 sixth-round pick. So the Niners, they find running backs. They're a dime a dozen for them. They don't need them. It's whatever. For the Vikings on the other side. So they re-signed Aaron Jones. Now they bring in Jordan Mason. They might look to add like a rookie running back on day three, but this relatively seems like this is going to be their backfield of Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones. Jordan Mason, he looked good in relief of CMC last year. I mean, he was basically just the Niners starter last year. He looked good playing behind, honestly, probably a worse offensive line than what the Vikings are going into. This offense in general just looks good. I'm excited to see what he does in a new look. It's a very good offense who is just looking for that complement to Aaron Jones right now. So good for Jordan Mason. Good for the Niners for just, again, getting added value. Jordan Mason was a UDFA for them, so like that's solid. Jeremy Chinn goes to the Raiders on a two-year, $16 million deal. Had a very good year with the Commanders and Dan Quinn's scheme. He just seems like a Raiders player. He's a guy who hits hard, comes down, bit of a box safety, but like, I think that's just kind of what they need right now. They just need guys to give them a presence back there. So I like that signing for the Raiders with Jeremy Chinn. The Panthers signed Rico Dowdle to a one-year $6.25 million deal. The Panthers, again, I think that's a very fair number for Rico Dowdle. Rico Dowdle was actually pretty damn good for a Cowboys team who dealt with injuries on the offensive line, at quarterback. Like, Dowdle was one of the few consistent players on that team, so I give him a lot of credit. And now he goes to a backfield with Chuba Hubbard, who was great last year for the Panthers. And this, honestly, pretty damn good Panthers offensive line. It gives him a good 1-2 punch. What I'm confused about is why the Cowboys decided not to bring him back at that number. I don't really get it. They signed Miles Sanders. They signed Javonte Williams. I would much rather not pay either of those guys and just bring back Rico Dowdle for 1 year. But I'm smarter than Jerry Jones. I don't have to say that every episode. But I like that deal for the Panthers. DeAndre Hopkins signs a 1 year up to $6 million deal with the Baltimore Ravens. Sure, it's just another Ravens wide receiver signing that they'll just retire there. So Hopkins joins the likes of Dez Bryant, Odell Beckham Jr., Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, Michael Crabtree, of very good receivers who will end their career with the Ravens in unspectacular fashion. Yeah, like this move is nothing. I like DeAndre Hopkins, but if he couldn't produce with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs last year, why should I think that he does it with Lamar and the Ravens? I don't know. I think that's a name signing at this point. We're getting into the point where these are names. They're still good players, but they're names more than anything. Draymond Jones. Oh, I, for some reason, did not write where Draymond Jones went. Draymond Jones of the Broncos and then the Seahawks signs a one-year $10 million deal with the Titans to add to that interior. Yeah, he's an IDL. Well, they got him listed at linebacker, which I don't think that he's an edge player. 6'3", 281, you can argue he's a big, big edge player if he is, but I think he's more of an interior defensive lineman, but whatever, I digress. So he signs a one-year $10 million deal with the Titans. Obviously, the Titans let Harold Landry go, so they bring in Draymond Jones on a one-year deal to kind of replace that. They're not similar players whatsoever, but he adds to that defensive line of Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, who had a very, very good rookie season. Just building on that defensive line for the Titans, maybe they still go Abdul Carter 1. I think, I don't know. That defensive line would be very good if they went Abdul Carter 1. I will say that. Dalvin Tomlinson signs a two-year $29 million deal with the Cardinals. So yeah, we talked about the Cardinals just a little bit in that defensive line already. They brought in Josh Sweat to be one of the edges. They have Darius Alexander, who can play on the interior, but can also play at edge. Now they bring in Dalvin Tomlinson, a former, what was he? He was a day... He might have been a first-round pick or early day two. Either way, good player. Started with the Vikings. Got signed by the Browns. Very good, consistent player. Browns had to cut him because, obviously, the Browns cap stuff is not a lot of fun to look at right now. But still, solid player. Again, the Cardinals just need players in general. So he adds to that interior for that defensive line. Cardinals are just building themselves up just a little bit here. And the Browns signed his Dalvin Tomlinson's replacement, Malik Collins, to a two-year $20 million deal. Collins played for the Texans, got traded to the Niners last year, and again, solid interior defensive line player. The Browns just needed to get a little cheaper, again, with their cap stuff right now, needed to get a little bit cheaper. They do. They get Collins. Not as good as Dalvin Tomlinson, in my opinion, but again, similar tier guy. So the drop-off isn't crazy, so good replacement, again, for the Browns. We got a Dolphins signing that I can finally talk about. The Dolphins get James Daniels on a three-year, $24 million deal. The Dolphins didn't have any guards that... Yeah, no, we just didn't have any guards, like, on going into free agency. It was completely bare. So James Daniels steps in at one of those guard spots. Missed all last season with an injury, but that was the only season he's had with injuries, so hopefully he comes back healthy. He's solid. Again, he's just been rock solid his entire career, and if I don't hear about you as an offensive lineman consistently on my TV, to me, that's a good thing. DeMarcus Robinson signs a two-year, $9.5 million deal with the 49ers. Technically, the Rams wide receiver two last year. I'll say wide receiver three because Cooper Kupp does exist, but injuries, whatever. DeMarcus Robinson's just really solid. And for a Niners team who wide receiver room looks a little shaky right now. Like, we don't know what version of Brandon Ayuk we're going to get. Is it going to be the 2023 or the 2024 version? Obviously, the Niners hope it's the 2023 version after all that money that they paid him. Second-year player Ricky Pearsall now. We'll see how he looks. Juwan Jennings, is, I think he's a really solid second option. And now they bring in DeMarcus Robinson. It's just depth. It's a very good depth piece for them to add, in my opinion. But again, solid wide receiver. You know what to expect from a guy like DeMarcus Robinson. Josh Palmer, Canadian, signs a three-year, $36 million deal with the Bills. Basically to replace what Mac Hollins did for them last year. A guy who gets in the nitty-gritty and the blocking and is a good deep threat downfield receiver. He essentially just takes on that Mac Hollins role. I don't think he's as good as a blocker or special teamer as Mac Hollins, obviously, but I think he's a better receiver and athlete overall. Interested to see how he does with Josh Allen. I think this is, again, it's the Gabe Davis, Mac Hollins, now it's the Josh Palmer role of this offense. Doesn't move the needle in terms of, like, a wide receiver, but, like, Amari Cooper didn't do anything last year for them, so who really cares? The Bills are just hoping that Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid takes that next step in their development and be like, that's our true wide receiver, true number one pass catcher anyways. Andre Sisco signs a one-year, $10 million deal with the Jets. Again, one of my favorite players since he's been drafted for mainly off-field reasons and me going to see him during that 2020 season at Syracuse. That could not have been the 2019 season at Syracuse. Played 4 years for the Jags, was a pretty damn good safety for them, goes to the Jets, helps that secondary. The Jets also add Brandon Stevens on a three-year, $36 million deal. Solid corner. Ravens fans kind of hate him. Up and down play, but for the Jets, who just need a second corner to go alongside Sauce, and I think Brandon Echols is like their other younger guy who they might try out, but Brandon Stevens, solid. If he's your corner three, you're doing okay. If he's corner two, yeah, we'll see. Azeez Ojulari goes to the Eagles on a one-year, $4 million deal. Dealt with some injury issues, had a good year this year for the Giants when Thibodeau was out. He honestly looked better than Kayvon Thibodeau. And the Giants at the deadline could have traded him for a fifth-round pick, apparently. They said no, and then he got hurt, and then look at that, he signed somewhere else anyways. What a shock. But Howie does it again. Howie gets another one of these Georgia players to play on his defense, and fuck, I'm going to try to think off the top of my head here, but it's Azeez Ojulari, it's Jordan Davis, it's Jalen Carter, it's Nolan Smith, Keely Ringo, N'Kobe Dean, and there's one more guy. I think Louis Cine might be on the Eagles at this point too, so that's seven or eight former Georgia players now on that Eagles defense. Crazy. I think this is a very good spot. This is Azeez. I think he could have got more money somewhere else, maybe a little bit more term, but he's betting on himself going to this Eagles defense where they desperately need edge rushers. They essentially lost all of them. They have Nolan Smith now, and now it's Nolan Smith, who's certified one of the starters, and then there's going to be a rotation of guys like Azeez Ojulari, Bryce Huff, Jalix Hunt, Moro Ojomo. Those are the other four guys right now, where none of those guys are proven, but they will battle it out to see who can be that next guy. Almost done here. Almost done. Javon Kinlaw gets a 3-year, $45 million deal from the Commanders. That deal makes no fucking sense to me. Javon Kinlaw, who, yeah, kind of bit of a bust with the Niners, didn't really work out. He goes to the Jets and was not good last year. Somehow got a 3-year, $45 million deal. Very confusing. I think that's the most confusing deal in free agency that I've seen so far. I genuinely don't understand what the Commanders are doing with that. They let Jonathan Allen walk for a few more mil AAV more, who's like, Jonathan Allen's still a really good player. Javon Kinlaw has never been a really good player. I get Adam Peters used to work with the Niners. He would have been part of that front office to bring him in. But like, you could have got Kinlaw, if you wanted to sign him for 3 years, you could have got him at a 3-year, $15 million deal, and I think he would have signed that. Good for him for getting that money, but that's a crazy deal from the Commanders. Speaking of crazy deals, the Panthers signed Tershawn Warden for a 3-year, $45 million deal. Sure. Again, had like a good productive year for the Chiefs last year. I think he had like 6.5 sacks, but he was a UDFA for the Chiefs. Then signed a 1-year extension for like 2.2 mil. Then last year, signed another extension for 2.5 mil. And then in that season where, yeah, he looked better, he all of a sudden got a 3-year, $45 million raise. Again, great for him. Life-changing money for his family. He was a UDFA. That's awesome for Tershawn Warden. From the Panthers, I'm a little confused. Obviously, they thought they had Milton Williams. They're trying to rebuild him on aggregate, essentially, with Tershawn Warden. And then the two other moves I'll talk about shortly with Patrick Jones and Bobby Brown. But another deal, that's just a lot of money for a guy who hasn't really proven it. But, oh well, Patrick McCarry signs a 3-year, $37.5 million deal with the Jags. Interior offensive lineman, Jags just need help on the offensive line in general. McCarry comes in, he's fine. Again, when you just need bodies on the offensive line, like, I think he's like, I don't know, it's similar to like an AJ Kappa or a Ted Karras. I'm trying to think of, yeah, that's the other, like, solid, whatever, we can move on. They also bring in Jordan Lewis on a 3-year, $30 million deal. Former Cowboys corner, up and down. He's going to be their corner number 3, I believe, depth piece, but whatever, solid, it's fine. Dyami Brown also goes to the Jags on a 1-year, $10 million deal. I like this. You can put him in the slot. You got BTJ on the outside. Dyami Brown, you saw his versatility and what his role could be with the Commanders late last season into the playoffs. So now he hopes to build off that with the Jags. I do like that signing. It's like a low-key signing. Fantasy people, be aware of Dyami Brown, depending on what the Jags do, but good signing. Christian Fulton, 2-year, $20 million deal with the Chiefs. Again, former first-round pick, but if I say former first-round pick, you're usually means you're not that good anymore. Again, he's been a solid player, but he's now getting to the point where, oh, he's solid, and then he dips down to not very good, and then he can dip back up to solid again, so not a really exciting signing to be, but it's just good secondary depth for the Chiefs. Now, talk about these two Panthers deals. Patrick Jones, 2-year, $50 million deal, and Bobby Brown, 3-year, $21 million deal. Pat Jones, a third-round pick from the Vikings in 2021, had 7 sacks this season, like in a rotation with Andrew Van Ginkle, Jonathan Grenard, Dallas Turner. He's just kind of the odd man out, but someone who, again, young player who is developing, who now goes to the Panthers, and he's looking for more of a prominent role. He'll find that. There's obviously room for him to improve on this offense, so I'm interested to see how he does develop. Bobby Brown comes over to plug up the middle, be their nose tackle. Yeah, solid deal. Was a good player for the Rams, but they moved off of him for Puna Ford, who I absolutely love. Let's keep going here. We're almost done. Chiefs get Gardner Minshew to be their new backup. Sure, Gardner Minshew just has more vibes than any other backup that they could go with. I like the deal a lot. Maybe Gardner can win a Super Bowl ring with them. We'll see. Mac Jones to the 49ers. People are being like, Kyle Shanahan finally gets the guy he wants all along after they took Trey Lance in the 2021 draft. Now, yeah, there's a world where I'm very interested to see how Mac Jones does. Now, Mac Jones will not play a single snap if Brock Purdy is healthy all season, and I'm not hoping that Brock Purdy gets hurt so I can see Mac Jones play, but I am interested because, again, Mac Jones is solid, capable backups. I'd say he's one of the better backups in the league right now. I'd much rather have Mac Jones as our backup than Zach Wilson. Mac Jones is a little bit more expensive, but either way. Yeah, where I think that Mac Jones just fits into what the Niners are doing, and I don't know. I do want to see him play. I want to see him play at some point, but we'll see. Niners also get back Kyle Juszczyk after cutting him. He's like, I don't want to go anywhere else. I'll take less money. And they're like, yep, sure, come back. We're happy to have you. So reunion there, quick reunion. Mike Williams back to the Chargers after his 1 year of leaving. Mike Williams called it, like, yeah, obviously the worst year of his career, worst year professionally. He goes back to L.A. where he has that rapport with Justin Herbert already. Obviously, it's a different regime, different coaching staff, so we'll see how that looks for him there, but at least it's that familiarity back where they're already looking for other weapons. He essentially takes on Josh Palmer's role. He's not getting his old role back, I can tell you that, but if he can fill in for what Josh Palmer did for them, that's solid. The Raiders get Raheem Mostert. He's immediately their best running back they have on the roster, and Mostert is not that great anymore, not that good anymore, but the Raiders need running back help. Mostert will help them out a ton, obviously. They're still the favorites, in my opinion, to draft Ashton Jeanty there at pick number 6. That's solid. Adoree Jackson to the Eagles. Very hyper-athletic corner who last couple years has been like, okay, I guess we'll see what he does on the Eagles. He should not be starting opposite Quinyon Mitchell if that's who they do decide. They need to add something to that corner room other than Adoree Jackson. We'll see. The Ravens add Cooper Rush to be their backup at a 2-year, up to $12.2 million deal. Great deal. I talked about Mac Jones being one of the best backups in the league. Cooper Rush is the best backup in the league. I'm honestly shocked that the Cowboys let him walk out the door. And now that I remembered one of my points when I was talking about the Cowboys all those minutes earlier was they restructured Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb's deal. For what? To not bring Cooper Rush back? One of your, like, the offense still looked pretty damn competent with Cooper Rush being the quarterback last year, which is tough to say when a lot of other quarterbacks come in and they added nothing else. So makes no sense why the Cowboys didn't bring him back, but obviously Cooper Rush and Lamar Jackson couldn't be more different quarterbacks. One's a white ginger and the other one's Lamar fucking Jackson. But Cooper Rush is just, I don't know, damn good, solid quarterback. You know what to expect. Basically Andy Dalton from like 2018, 2017. That's what Cooper Rush is, which honestly, that's not a bad comparison. Two more notes here. We're almost done. Thank you for staying with me through this. Michael Hoecht, and again, the guy that the Bills signed from, either way. So the Bills signed Michael Hoecht and Larry Ogunjobi to 1-year deals. Michael Hoecht is a Canadian. Awesome. Was the Rams linebacker, defensive tackle, edge player. He does it all. Larry Ogunjobi, very good interior defensive lineman for a decently long time anyways. But they've both been suspended 6 games for PEDs. So the Bills are without their latest signings anyways for the first 6 games. Not a bad thing. These guys are a little bit older now where, hey, them missing the first 6 games isn't the end of the world. Fresher legs going into the playoffs because you know that the Bills are going to be making the playoffs anyways. And then finally, last trade here, the Texans trade a 2026 sixth round pick for Ed Ingram of the Vikings. Ed Ingram, a former second round pick. adds to that interior for the Texans, who they're trying to rebuild that offensive line on the fly just a little bit. Unfortunately for the Texans, Ed Ingram also kind of sucks. So they traded away Kenyon Green, who allowed the third highest 1v1 pressure rate in the NFL, and then traded for Ed Ingram, who was number one, and then signed Laken Tomlinson, who was fourth. So you tell me if you think the Texans' offensive line got much better with these trades and signings. I would say no. That's going to be a major retool, but I am done. That is all the news. That's all the notes. Free agency essentially recapped right now. Still got some big names out there, but for right now, we are done. That's all of it. This is an average length episode. Obviously, it was just me saying a bunch of names at you guys and you following and listening along for as long as you wanted to. If you stuck with me for the full hour and 10 minutes, I appreciate it. But yeah, I'm going to end the episode because I got to feed Lucy, right? Yeah, is it food time for you? It's food time, yeah. So I'm going to go feed my dog. Next week, it's going to be draft. It's going to be draft hot takes, or it's going to be my guys, but it will be something draft related. Yeah, let's end it here. As always, if you've liked this, please like, share, retweet, subscribe, tell your friends, all that fun stuff. And until next time, peace.